This episode of Standard Orbit is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program for the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. Want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode? Join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
This is Walter Koenig, Chekhov from Star Trek, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Risk is our business.
It's like nothing we've dealt with before.
By golly, Jim, I'm beginning to think I can cure a rainy day.
I can't change the laws of physics.
Now in standard orbit, sir.
Welcome, everyone, to Standard Orbit, Trek FM's dedicated podcast to the original and new crew of Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. I am Ken Tripp.
And I am Zach Moore, and today we're bringing in someone well-known to Trek fandom, as she's been on several other Star Trek podcasts, a good friend that we met during Star Trek Las Vegas 50, Haley Stoddard. Welcome, Haley.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you aboard. It's, you know, it's funny, when Zach and I were talking about a subject for the show, a Facebook post came up, you know, as we were going back and forth on Messenger. And it was you talking about sitting down with your daughter to watch a TOS episode, you know, like it was a ritual or something. And I thought to myself, bingo, what an interesting discussion this could be for a couple of reasons. Now, before I get into that, just learning prior and off mic, Haley, this is also your first watch into the original series. What's taken you so long?
Yeah, it's my first time. You know, school, raising my kid, just a lot of Trek fell off the radar for me for quite a while. So, yeah.
School.
Kind of why.
School and raising your kid above TOS. We'll send that out to the jury to see how that comes back. Now, that sounds pretty reasonable to me. And so you're watching it with your daughter. I'm sorry, yes. What's her name now?
Her name's Chloe.
Okay, and how old is she?
She's 10.
She's 10. Okay, so This is a nice bonding thing for you guys, right?
So,
yeah. Well, that's excellent. So, Zach, when she told me that she was a TNG person, that's how she grew up, I immediately thought of you, and I said, there's got to be a connection between you two now.
Yeah, for sure. I call myself a child of the Next Generation. You know, I was literally, you know, born the same year Next Gen came out, so that was like my Star Trek. So, you know, but hey, TOS is pretty good too, I think, Ken, so it's all good.
Yeah, well, I always find it, you know, interesting, people's entryway into Star Trek. And Haley, from my point of view, I'm just curious, now, was this something that you watched with your folks or just something you found by yourself? How did you get into Trek, if you don't mind?
My dad kind of was watching it, and I started watching it with him. And then I don't remember if he kept watching it with me, but I know I kept watching it. So I was 5 when TNG came on, and I don't think at that point I didn't start watching it, obviously. I think I was deeply immersed in Fraggle Rock at that point.
Oh, there we go. Fraggle Rock, yes.
But I know I've watched all of the episodes and rewatches them. Like, I definitely remember watching them. I'm like, I remember this.
Yeah, that was the thing with my parents, is they taped the shows off TV. So we had VHS tapes when I was growing up. So as you know, as I got older to, you know, be cognizant of what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, we have these VHS tapes for Star Trek, you know. And it was funny, a lot of people, you know, didn't, like, their families weren't into that. Like, they didn't have VHSs, or if they did, they just would just buy VHS tapes and watch them, but we were one of those fans that like recorded stuff off TV. So, you know, I would rewatch Star Trek. Like most of my rewatching Star Trek in my youth was rewatching these shows off TV. And of course it has all that, and they're fun little time capsules too, you know, because there's like commercials and all kinds of stuff in there too. So
you still have them all, Zach?
They are in a closet. I can't, you know, it's like I walk a fine line between collecting and hoarding, I think, with some of this stuff. Because it's like, I can't throw it away, but it's like, I don't use it. I don't know what to do. But anyway, it's this. I still have it for now.
Well, I think it would be a good topic maybe one of these days for Earl Grey is to pull you on the show, take a just pick a random season, random episode, and go through the commercials that were playing at that time. And that to me, that to me would be so interesting because if you – I don't know if you guys listen to Saturday Morning Track with Aaron Harvey, but, you know, to me, I grew up in the 70s. Yeah, okay. And you know, I listened to all the commercials and stuff that he plays that were running during the animated series run, and I remember them all. I mean, it just comes back to your head. And it's just very nostalgic. So I know I'm off topic, but I thought that would be kind of something to just toss out there. That's all.
So Haley, you know, you started with TNG, you're back around to TOS now. Did you watch the other Treks in between, or what was your Trek journey to now?
No, and that's the thing. So I think I had 2 years left of school, and I started watching Deep Space Nine, which I finished, I think, earlier this year.
Did you start at the beginning of Deep Space Nine?
I did. And yeah, I totally, you know, it was that age range where Trek just wasn't even on my radar. So, like, I haven't watched Voyager. I haven't watched Enterprise. I will get to them at some point because I'm a believer in watching it all. So, even TAS, I'm sure we'll probably get there. But, yeah, so I didn't – it just wasn't even there for me. I don't know why. I don't know why I missed it, but it went over my head.
These things happen. You know, I'm a huge Superman fan, right? But I never watched, like, Lois and Clark. You know, it was on TV when I was a kid, but it's just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know, just being a kid, I just didn't watch. So it's like you assume, like, oh, yeah, you like this fan. Well, have you seen this, this, and this? I'm like, well, not everything, but I mean, one day I'll probably get around to it. So, and I'm a similar way. I'm like a completist. So, like, I have this list of stuff. Like, well, better get around to watching that.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, yeah. So for sure.
I think for me, I remember watching more of Nick at Night and my mom telling me to go to bed. And I would get mad because I wanted to watch Green Acres.
Of course.
So I remember watching all of that. But yeah, somehow after TNG, the rest of Trek just went by me.
Nick at Night. Man, see, Star Trek's old enough to be on Nick at Night now. Again, and like...
Yeah, I know it. You know, well, you know, it's funny just hearing this conversation, and it makes me realize because I guess as I've grown up, I've been able to go one series to the next and kind of follow them. Now, I wasn't as rabid a fan as some of the more newer series like Enterprise and Voyager, but I've watched them. I can't say I've watched every single one of them, but probably most of them. But it is a huge universe now, and it was popping into my head. You know, I saw the new Star Wars movie, and, you know, as big as Star Wars is and its popularity, even beyond Star Trek, it's amazing to me. And then you look at Star Trek and you go, oh my God, there is so much to watch. There is so much to follow. There's so much to read. There's so much, you know, I mean, we have our niche here, you know, with the original series and the new movies, which is great. But that gives us plenty to talk about, even though it's 51 years old. But you think about the expanded universe and it's amazing. So as you were talking, Haley, that was what was going through my mind. It's like, yeah, you know, life gets in the way. It just does. And yeah. For all the right reasons, you know, for all the right reasons. But it is amazing when you go to Las Vegas and you or any of the our co-hosts out there on Trek FM or our friends on Trek Geeks or wherever you go, and the amount of time people spend watching Star Trek. And when you hear rewatch, it's like, if you can't get through the initial watch, how the hell do you do a rewatch? It's incredible. It's incredible. So anyway, that's my spin on that. So let's start with you, Haley. Just how much of TOS have you watched to date, and what's been your initial thoughts?
Okay, so currently we finished the last episode we watched last night was A Piece of the Action. My brother for Christmas last year, he gave me the DVD. with all six of the original series movies. Mm-hmm. So we've watched Motion Picture and Wrath of Khan. And then, yeah, so that's where we're sitting at. I'm enjoying it. It's been really fun. My daughter actually likes it more.
She likes it more? Okay.
She really loves it, and I like watching her reactions and listening to her reactions, because sometimes I'm in the midst of, for next year, making bookmarks. I have a cross-stitch.
Okay.
Star Trek cross-stitch pattern book. And so sometimes I'm working on bookmarks because I'm trying to make at least 30 of these things for Vegas next year. And I won't tell you how long they take. But she'll start laughing and stuff like that. And we'll talk about it in the car when I take her to school. Shout out to 5-Year Mission. I was gifted all of their albums to date. Mm-hmm. And so we will listen to the songs that correspond with the episodes that we've watched so far. And
nice.
As we're listening, she's like, oh, that was this one episode. And she can remember details of the episode, but maybe not the episode title. And
she'll get there.
Yeah.
She'll
get there. And then, so it's kind of fun because it's just like, it's something that we get to talk about quite a bit. So,
wow. Okay. You know, it's funny when we met a couple of years ago, and we didn't talk that long, but we got to know each other a little bit. And I don't, you know, it's just when you're in a room with all these folks, and I think we were up with the original TNG Earl Grey Cruise rooms, right? We were up there. Mm-hmm. And all these people around, and they're talking like about the whole mosaic of Star Trek or whatever. Well, I assume everybody in that room has seen every series and knows everything that's going on, right? So it's funny hearing you say, yeah, I'm getting through TOS. I've seen two or three of the first, the original series movies, right? And I'm going, oh my goodness, wow. You know, this really is a TNG baby who's gone into DS9 and is now working your way around. Have you seen the new reboot movies?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, let's see. The first two, I didn't take my daughter to, but beyond, I did. We actually, me and a couple friends and my daughter went to the showing the night before it officially came out.
Nice.
And so she's watched those as well, and she enjoyed those. And so it's kind of fun to see her go back. But, I know at some point I saw some of the original series movies when I was younger, but I just don't remember.
Yeah, I know. If it's not Picard, I get it, yeah.
No, and see, that's the thing. I know I've seen Nemesis and Insurrection, but I vaguely recall them.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I need to.
It's for the best, really. Just let it fade away.
I know, right?
Just let it fade away.
Yeah.
Just stop it all the things.
Well, see, in Generations, I remember seeing that one in the theater with my dad, and I remember being so confused. I to this day, I remember being like leaving the theater going, what did I just watch? What was going on? I'm so lost. What in the world was that?
I feel that way every time I watch it. I feel that way every time I watch it myself. So.
Yeah, it's a rough one. It's a rough one. Yeah. That's all I can say to that. Oh, that's pretty cool. So you're through, I guess, most of the second season then at this point. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're going pretty fast, by the way, because I, you know, following you on social media, I think I even commented the other day, I'm like, hey, are you watching these in order? it's like she's like in the middle of season one, and then like a couple weeks later, it's like, oh,
yeah, well,
middle of season two.
We had 4 days at home, Thanksgiving and Black Friday. I was off, and then we don't go anywhere on weekends because we live in a town where all the where people from the smaller communities that live around us come on the weekends to do all their shopping because they don't have stuff. And I'm in my car and I'm driving all week. So yeah, we had 4 days, and I don't know if it took us the whole 4 days over Thanksgiving weekend to finish season one. But yeah, we were about halfway through, and then we busted out the rest of it that weekend.
Okay, so there's a couple of things that have been said that we're definitely going to circle back on. One of them is the fact that she seems to like it more than I do. That'll stick in my head for a bit, and we'll get back on that. But so from the rewatch perspective, you know, you're going into it having seen Star Trek with pretty high production values, you know, just you grew up in it, where, you know, mm-hmm. they spent some money and they did it right. What's it like going back to the original show, watching it, you know, a show from the 1960s, you know, and for us, and I don't want to answer your question, so for us, you know, it was ingrained in us that the stories were so good that the effects didn't matter. Are you finding that to be the same, or is it a mix?
You know, I can appreciate, I think, because I watch stuff, like I remember watching Adam West Batman when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I watched Green Acres, Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie. So I appreciate what they had and what they were able to do with what they had at the time. And I try not to look at it through that lens of where, oh my gosh, I grew up with something that had better technology and was able to do a lot more things. And put it on that level and be like, oh, this isn't as good because we have so much better stuff now. And I appreciate it. I think it's amazing what they were able to do with what they had. And it's really fun. I mean, some things I'm like, okay, that's a little weird. But at the same time, my daughter is enjoying it and she doesn't care. So.
Yeah, and that's I think that's the difference right there, right? So the eyes of a 10-year-old be... in the eyes of the parent, it, you know, are very different. There's no doubt mm-hmm. about that. And I think the colors and all that stuff must appeal to little kids quite a bit.
Yeah. And I think she likes the characters. She loves, you know, the characters. She loves Scotty. Spock's her favorite.
Of course.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Data's her favorite in TNG, so we're just continuing, you know, this.
There you go. See, Data was my favorite in TNG as well. You know, because I'm serious, though. When you're a kid... Data's like a kid. You're like, oh, he's learning to be a person. Well, I'm learning to be a person. Mm-hmm. So it's like that's the journey you go on with Data and Next Gen. So
yeah. I
relate. What happened to his programming when he went into the movies, though?
Well, his emotion shift, yeah. Kid. You know, when you get older, you start to have emotions, and that really messes with your with your life. You know, so
especially on the ego side of things, I think.
Yes, yes, the Picard and Data show. Yes,
yeah. But yeah, no, it's been really fun, and yeah, so we're enjoying it.
Okay, so what are the things that you're taking from it, good and bad? I guess a little bit, just a little discussion, just free, you know, just kind of free conversation as to what you think is hitting and off. And you know, it's funny because you say, you know, Spock is the favorite. Well, Spock is iconic, right? And if I remember, Haley, you're a bit into the Vulcans. Right, you dig, yeah. Vulcans, yeah. So that must be pretty cool. So, you know, if you're getting into the philosophical aspect of the Vulcans and how they work and how they operate, they didn't have a lot to going on in TNG, but they certainly do have a lot more going on in TOS.
Yeah, I think for her, she likes. It's more, I think, the humor aspect that they try to show, and I think that's also kind of why she likes Data, because it's a little subtle. It's not so much in your face, and that's kind of fun. I love British humor, so that subtle kind of humor, and I think his expressions is right. What she really loves. She loves when he just different things, and it's really kind of funny, but...
Yeah, I think TOS did comedy a lot better than TNG.
Yeah,
in my opinion, it just—I don't know. Like, there was something about TNG, just the air about it. It was a very serious show, and it was very good at what it did. But, and yeah, don't get me wrong, it had some funny moments, and especially, you know, with Data. But like when they try to do like comedy episodes, like, and I try to think about some like the outrageous Okona. Like, I guess that was supposed to be comedy. That's like one of the worst episodes of Star Trek. And it's like, what are you doing? You know, but then you look at TOS, you get, you know, you just watch Peace the Action. That's mm-hmm. hilarious.
Yeah.
Because it's like fish out of water stuff. They're spot on, you know, or Star Trek 4, right? I mean, it's not a comedy, but it's hilarious to see these guys in these fish out of water situations. Trouble with Tribbles is one of the most famous episodes in the franchise.
Yep.
A comedy episode. So I don't know. There was a certain just kind of gleam in the eye of TOS that they pull off well when they try to do comedy a lot better than some of the other shows.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, definitely, for sure, on that one.
So, as you know, like Kim was saying, I think the colors and all that craziness, you know, there's a lot more liveliness to TOS, a lot of energy, you know, a lot of that 60s show. I mean, 60s television, you know, you mentioned the Batman, yeah. You know, like Adam West show. There's a lot of that in TOS, just the production values of the time, the kind of in-your-faceness of everything. But it's exciting, you know, especially for a younger person, because TOS was more like kind of an action-adventure kind of show.
Yeah.
Right? TNG, you know, it had its action-adventure, but there's a lot more, you know, sitting around it in conference rooms and, you know, counseling sessions and stuff like that. And that was of the time, and, it, you know, a more sophisticated show, and it fancied itself as a more sophisticated show. But, you know, and there's a time and a place for that. There's a time and a place for, you know, kissing the girl and punching the bad guy and having a good time, you know, down on the planet. And there's a lot more of that going on to us. So I can see how that would appeal to, you know, people of all ages. And that's what hooked me in as well, because in addition to tapes of TNG that I watched when I was a kid, I did watch tapes of TOS reruns my parents had as well. So I kind of grew up with them both simultaneously. So.
Yeah, it's been kind of... It's funny, sometimes she's still in that age of when Kirk kisses the girl, she kind of looks at me, kind of rolls her eyes a little bit, and I'm like, yeah, I know, Kirk always gets the girl, but it's kind of fun because we did the watch of TNG to kind of compare, you know, TOS, Kirk goes down on the planet pretty much every single time. There's an away mission. And comparing that with TNG, where Riker was like, no, you know, and wouldn't let Captain Picard go down on the planet because, you know, you look at all the stuff that happens when Kirk goes down on the planet, and it's like, okay, really? The captain probably should not be going on every single away mission, you know, with all your senior staff and everything. So it's kind of nice to make those comparisons.
That is amusing. You see literally, like, the entire crew beam down to a planet. Yeah. It's like, who is left on the ship, you know, at this point? There's always some random guy, like, you know, use Sulu, or sometimes they just promote some random officer to be in charge. Because, oh, everyone's left. Everybody's gone.
Yeah. So.
Schmedlap.
There you go. Exactly.
That's where that phrase came from. Yeah, just throw him up there. But it is, yeah, there's a lot of great differences, and I think that even in the styles, right, where... I think if you go backwards, it must be interesting because in TNG, DS9, Enterprise, and Voyager, it's an ensemble cast. It's just not, you know, yes, the captain is the focal point. However, the whole cast is pulled in. And in TOS, it's just the top three, and that's it. And the rest are definitely, and that was the era of television back then. They were the stars of the show, and the rest were, you know, the... below the line, you know, they fill in the gaps and all that stuff. And every once in a while they get something to do, but they're not treated the same way. But in that era of television, that's just how things operated. And with a tight budget, you can only focus on the top three. So I think it is interesting dynamic to see, you know, the Kirk, McCoy, Spock, you know, triad versus in the other shows, it's like, boom, it's like a shotgun approach. It could be a Riker episode, it could be a Data episode, a Worf, a Troy. You just don't know. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To that point, you know, is there anything that you would like to see more of? You haven't seen enough of in TOS. You know, you got about half of the show left. So what would you like to see that you haven't seen more of? And I can tell you if you're going to be disappointed or not.
No, I don't want to know. For me, no. I'm just enjoying it. So there's not anything I think that I want to see more of. Or less of, or just, you know, kind of taking it a little bit at a time and enjoying it for what it is. And I'm enjoying my daughter's reactions. Like, she loved iMUD. She was laughing hysterically. It was so funny. You know? When we watched, it's really funny because she'll pick up on different things too. So I grew up in band. I was in band for all through
my... What did you play?
I played the flute.
And okay, then... cool. I was in band as well, but I did not play the flute. So. Carry on.
But, so, like, the music and stuff, and so I'll notice, I'll be like, oh, this was music from this episode, but sometimes she picks up on little stuff like that, too. But it's really fun to kind of... little things that she notices, and I'm just like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right, you know, or she'll like an episode a little bit more than I will. But I don't think right now there's anything more. I don't know if there's anything more that I want to see of.
Just... Well, you know, I don't know how much like modern TV do you watch, Ellie?
Not a lot.
Well, no, I just asked that because, you know, nowadays, you know, everything is so serialized and everything's like one piece of a whole chapter of a mm-hmm. like discovery, right? Everything's like a chapter of a greater novel, if you will.
Yeah.
For something like TOS, you know, it's episodic, so it's like I feel like that sometimes it's a lot easier to watch because there's something new, you know, yeah. every time. You know, it's not like, you know, just continuing story this or that. There's no, oh, long term, are these two characters going to get together or, you know, anything like that, like stuff to like look forward to, stuff they're setting up. It's just, you know, here's a, I like this concept, I like these characters, I want to see them all these different situations. Yeah. There's a lot of longevity to that, I think, and that's why TOS, you can revisit it years later and it's just the same now as it was then, you know, being just a fun little self-contained adventure starting stuff. Now I know you're yeah. like binging them and all, but at the same time it's just easier to jump in and out with yeah. something just self-contained, and it's more satisfying in a lot of ways
not
too.
Having to remember stuff from like three episodes ago that like is brought back up again, you're like, I don't remember that.
Oh yeah, it just trudges on. I mean, a person's mind can be completely erased and it's all fixed the next week. And that has happened.
Yeah, that's that. People have died and come back. It's just, you
oh
know,
really?
Yeah.
Just a day at the office. Yeah. Like in that same episode, Ken, they kill Scotty and they bring him back, and like, you know, it's like, they're okay, great, you're back to life. All right, get back to work. You know, it's like, can we talk about this for a second? Yeah. You know, this is kind of a big deal.
Oh, okay, it's a little different but, than what I was thinking, but I'm just saying.
You're thinking of Uhura where they erase
her. Well, yeah, her mind was completely gone. Right at the end, she was trying yeah. to say
and
the
then
word.
Suddenly, yeah, and then she's at college level or something by the end of the episode.
Well they, not they really. She was still pretty. I think it was Bluey is how the end. Right? She was trying to say blue. So I don't think she was college level, but it's just funny. The next episode, right as rain, no problems, all memories back. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay.
Now, are there any kind of, you know, because your daughter's younger, are there any like episodes she gets like really scared by or that have like scared? Because I remember watching TOS when I was younger. I thought I was, you know, there's some things that can be creepy to a kid.
Not so far in TOS. I remember from stuff when I was a kid in TNG, there was like, there was some stuff. I'm like, close your eyes. Don't watch it.
Yes.
But I haven't, no, not too much. I mean, you know, she's finally come around to like Lord of the Rings and the orcs don't scare her anymore. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah. TOS is a little tame by comparison. Yeah. We're talking orcs and orc guy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I tried to get her to watch that like a few years ago, and the orcs were a little scary, but not anymore. I mean, she watches Ghostbusters. I've been introducing her to movies that I grew up on, so like if Labyrinth isn't gonna scare her, I think she's fine.
yeah, I think so too. I think so too. It is fun, and kids today. That's a phrase, but they yeah. are exposed to much more, and they seem to be. You know, there's a lot less, I wouldn't say concern, because I think parents do watch out for it, but they are exposed to more, and I think they handle, rightly or wrongly, more than we ever did when we were little.
Yeah. I try not to do, you know, there's, like, we don't have TV. We just have Netflix, and we have Hulu and a few other things, but so it's a lot of that and just a lot of movies that we have. We'll go to the library and stuff, but I still am like, there's some things that I'm like, Kate, yeah, no, there's things that parents let their kids watch, and I'm like, really?
Well, you know, and that's the great thing about Star Trek, because up until, you know, recently with Discovery, and then, mm-hmm. ooh, Quentin Tarantino Star Trek, huh? That'd be cool, we can talk about that one day, hopefully, Ken. But up until recently, Star Trek has been pretty much, you can show any kid any episode of Star Trek with a rare exception, like a conspiracy on TNG, for example.
Yeah, that one.
But you can pretty much just let, you know, sit there with and not have to feel like you got to reach over and, mm-hmm. you know, cover their eyes or ears every, you know, 5 minutes. And that's what's great about Star Trek. It's just family entertainment. I mean, I grew up watching it with my family. You grew up watching it with your dad, now watching it with your daughter. I mean, that's what little Star Trek is. It's just one of those great family touchstones of entertainment, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's what's been really nice, just because I feel that way. You know, I'm probably going to wait like another year before we do DS9, just because it's a little darker and a little, the subject matter is a little heavier at times. than I think even some of the episodes of TNG. But yeah, exactly. And, you know, we watch the movies, and I mean, she's going to be exposed to it anyway. I mean, I'm a Trekkie, so it's just around. So whether she wants to sit down and watch it herself or not, it's going to be on at some point. But it is, and it's been nice because I love that it has that family aspect, that people can sit down and watch it with their kids, you know. Even, I think even like a six-year-old could watch some of the episodes, and it's going to be totally fine, you know. It's not anything that you're like, oh my gosh, my kid is going to like be completely damaged by watching this, because they're not.
No, and they learn a lot from it. I mean, it's all good things that we want our kids to learn and understand. And the things that they were talking about on TOS to us now, I was like, yeah, of course this is the way we look at things. Well, back then it was very different, so it was very provocative, mm-hmm. in their approach, and sometimes it was punch right in the nose. It's so obvious. Other times it was very subtle. And people would pick up on it. But I do think that that's kind of a neat thing, is that, you know, it does tell a story of optimism, hope, friendship, respect, you know, and infinite diversity and infinite combinations. If you think, I think about it all the time, because in the business world today, there's such a huge focus, rightfully so, on diversity and inclusion. And that's been going on probably since the mid-90s, but it has really ramped up to make people aware of different cultures, different aspects, different thought processes from people that are, you know, that grow up in a different environment or do things different from you, and it pulls us all together. But to think that IDIC concept from 1966 is just really catching on now, in terms of, I'm talking like everything in my company's D&I. It is, you know, do you have a diverse slate? Are you looking at people from across a broad spectrum? Are you, because companies have learned that the more diverse your organization it is, the more profitable it is, because you come at it from so many different ways. And it's a real eye-opener. Well, hell, they realized this back in 1966 on this little itty-bitty TV show. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, and I've been asked, you know, some people have asked if I'm concerned about how women were treated on the show, and I think that's kind of interesting. And so I've had some interesting questions of people asking if I'm concerned about something like that. And, you know, I say no, because it's a good thing for her to see how women were treated then, you know, or how people, I explain to her when Chekhov finally comes on and kind of why. You know, she said something about how he's always like, oh, you know, when he talks about, oh, it was made by Russian. And I explained to her kind of that concept of why and stuff like that, why he kind of was always saying that. And it's nice because I can have those dialogues and those conversations rather and explain it in a, it fits now, kind of looking back at it mentality. And so It's been great. It's really fun, and it's a great way to teach her different lessons.
Yeah, that's a great point about like contextualizing things from the past and now. It's a great way to kind of just learn about history, mm-hmm. you know, because that's a fun way to learn too. And I'm sure she'll remember all that stuff. You're like, these little tidbits you share like via Star Trek, then a lot of the stuff she'll learn in school. So.
Yep, at some point, yeah, she definitely will. So.
Yeah, I can't wait till she sees The Voyage Home. That's it. Just for whatever reason, kids love that movie, right? And it's not only just kids. It when I was talking to my wife the other day about this thing, Bill Shatner's coming up to New York, yada yada, and we're talking about that, and I said, you don't even really like Star Trek. She said, I like the one with the whales. Okay,
the one with the whales. That is,
and it, you know, it's like that is such a common phrase from people outside of Star Trek that like that movie. And
like if you go to IMDb and you look like alternate titles, they should put Star Trek IV, the one with the whales.
Yep. And it just resonates. But for kids and even for my kids who weren't really much into Star Trek until they got older, that was the one movie that they all wanted to watch over and over again, because it was mm-hmm. funny and it had a great story. And who doesn't love whales? I don't know anybody who doesn't love whales.
Those guys that try to kill them in the movie. They don't love whales.
Yes, they don't. They don't love whales. Okay, so
I mean, they love what they can get from the whales, but yeah. Yes. You know, I might be a little against the grain here. You know, when I was a kid, I actually didn't like that one because I wanted to watch Star Trek for, you know, space and adventures and, you know, phaser fights and all this stuff. I'm like, well, this is, they're just like on the street with like a car. Like, it's, that's boring. You know, like, I don't, oh, look, there went some guy's office and he's talking to a computer. What's the, you know? So I gravitated more towards the Star Trek because, you know, I love 2 and 3. I'm like, all right. They're doing stuff, all this stuff going on. Planets are blowing up, you know, all this stuff's going on. And they're just hanging out in California for a while. And there's some whales. I might go to SeaWorld all the time. I can see whales. I'll see Star Trek for things I've never seen before. But that might be an unpopular opinion there, Ken, from... So file that one away, Haley, and my ever-growing stack.
Just ignore him, Haley. Go watch it and enjoy it and have fun. You guys will love it. You guys will love it. That's for sure. Okay, so yeah. Just out of curiosity, Haley, was there a specific episode? Titles be damned if it just needs a description. But is there one that that really caught you off guard that you really liked, and maybe one that really disappointed you?
There hasn't been any that have been disappointing. I think I was cooking for one of the episodes, so I don't remember it. And Chloe was like, Mom, do you remember when this happened when we were listening to the song in the car? And I'm like, no.
all the you know, being a Star Trek fan, I'm sure that you know certain episodes. Did they all live up to the hype when you finally saw, like, the big ones?
Yeah. Definitely... oh, geez. The Changeling was really fun. I really enjoyed that one. That one was a really good one. It was The Taste of Armageddon. That's the episode that I was cooking, and we were listening to the song in the car, and I was like, I don't remember this. And she's like, it's this one. And she was describing it, and I'm like, yeah, no, I don't remember that one. I think that
is one of those that kind of goes under the radar, yeah.
Yeah, I think so a little bit. But, yeah. Now, I think I'm kind of on what most people like. You know, Doomsday Machine was really fun. Really enjoyed that one. City on the Edge of Forever really kind of was like, oh, man, that hurt. That kind of hit hard. But, yeah, no. And let's see. I was going to say Chloe's, her favorite episodes. Let's see. Season 1, her favorite one was Devil in the Dark. And she really likes that one. I was asking her in the car, I'm like, hey, which one was season 1 that was your favorite? And she's like, the one with, like, the eggs that were purple. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay.
That's cute.
And then we both really enjoyed Return of the Archons. That's her second favorite one. And then so far, I think she said her favorite one in season 2, Trouble with Tribbles, been her favorite so far.
Now, yeah, had you seen the Deep Space Nine Tribbles episode before this one?
Yeah, so I've obviously watched Deep Space Nine. She hasn't yet, so, but I'm like, I need to show her that one now.
So was it interesting kind of seeing, like, almost an extended version of that episode when you came back to watch TOS, huh?
Yeah, that was really fun, because, I mean, I knew of the episode, but I hadn't watched it, obviously, and so that was really neat to kind of be like, oh, that's really fun. So now I need to go back and watch Trial and Tribulations, too, so.
For sure. That's a great two-pack right there to watch them back-to-back, so. So what about, like, episodes like Cat's Paw? You like that one?
That's just mean, man. Just mean.
It was okay.
Well, if you ever want to watch it again, you should listen to it with me and Brandon's commentary. I don't know the episode title, Ken. I'm sure to.
I thought it was just a commentary on Cat's Paw, but did you actually put a name to it? Because it was a supplemental.
Yeah. It came out on Halloween of this year. Me and Brandon Shamatella did a commentary. So if you ever have to watch it again, you should listen to it with us. So just file that away for future reference. Okay. But yes, that's one of the worst episodes of Star Trek.
Yeah, that wasn't all that great.
And it's okay. You know, you're so positive, Haley. It's okay to say you don't like certain things. Well, I certainly don't censor myself in that category. So.
You know, there's no episodes. I'm not one of those where it's like, oh, I hate that episode kind of people. I will rank them lower than some other, but, you know, they always say, you know, some episode that you don't like is an episode that somebody else is going to like. And, like, when I was watching DS9, I had some people tell me, oh, I'll tell you which episodes to watch, you know, which ones are the good ones. And I'm like, no, I believe in watching it all, the good and the bad, or the not so good, because someone's going to like it, even if I don't. And I believe if you want to have an actual conversation about it, you have to watch it, because there's some things that are just an entirety, and so in order to understand it all and talk about it, you gotta watch it all, even totally. If you don't like it.
Yeah, people always say, oh, skip this one and rewatch. I'm like, no, that defeats the purpose of a rewatch. You gotta go through the whole thing. This isn't a best of, you know? So.
Exactly.
Or an initial watch, in her case.
An initial watch.
An initial watch.
Or just a watch, as they call a watch.
That's right.
Yes.
As it's called.
Yeah, true.
So you mentioned Netflix, Hulu, stuff like that. You watch all the Star Treks on streaming, I take it.
Yeah.
I guess you watch it with the new special effects, huh? The remastered versions of TOS?
Probably.
They would be on Netflix, yes. Netflix, yeah. You don't have a choice.
If you see a CGI Enterprise, it's probably not from 1966. So.
Yeah,
that probably does help though, seeing it for the first time within that context. And that was the whole point of when they updated it. You know,
yeah.
Because you know, if you don't have the nostalgic attachment, you probably, and you just show somebody this, you're like, oh, it's a little rough. You know, I mean, I love shows like, you know, The Twilight Zone, contemporary, but and they're less about the special effects of Star Trek. But even so, they have some like, quote-unquote special effects, you're like, no, but anyway.
Yeah, I was explaining Chloe a lot of the ship scenes, and I'm like, yeah, you know how they did that? And I'm like, it was this little model. It was on a wire. And I'm like, and explaining how, like, they did the stars and stuff. And so it's kind of fun, because she's like, oh, that makes sense. Because she's, yeah, she likes math and science, so she's very much rational thinker, and she's like, that makes sense. Yeah, I can see that.
I'll allow it.
Yeah.
That's how kids are. Yeah, that's neat. That's good. The if you're watching Netflix, they're all remastered. If you watch CBS All Access, the original series is in the original form. They do not offer them remastered, which is really peculiar to me. So yeah, you'll see the difference. It's quite dramatic. It's quite dramatic between the two. Because when did they finish remastering the original? 99, 2000, something like that.
No, that's 2006.
2006. What was I? Yeah. Oh, I was thinking the motion picture. I think. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So yeah, they really did upgrade them, and it does make the show look a lot better on when they're doing their space things. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Okay, so you're halfway through your journey, both of you. That was a great surprise. I'm guessing we'll be able to kind of follow along with your updates that you'll put out there on social media.
Yes.
All right. And then are the movies on your agenda too, or are you trying to get through the original series before you get caught up on the TOS movies?
We'll probably finish the original series, the TV series first, and then hit the movies. Like I said, we've watched the motion picture, and then we watched Wrath of Khan, which is interesting, because then we started TOS, the TV series, after we had already watched Wrath of Khan, so then we got to Space Seed, and I was like, okay, this is kind of explained a little bit. Yeah, we'll get to the movies. I mean, like I said, I have them, so it's just kind of depending on. But
now, do you have the director's edition of those movies?
You know,
double check.
That's a
perfect excuse to rewatch them when you get to the movies again.
Okay.
Because they, if you have it on Blu-ray, they don't have the director's edition of motion picture on Blu-ray. It's only on DVD.
Okay. I'd have to look. I don't, like I said, it was the special, because last year for Christmas, they released the packaging,
the set.
Yeah, and they did it for original series and all the TNG movies. So that's what I have. So I don't know.
I don't think you have that. You don't have the director's edition of motion picture.
Think so.
I do. That is the superior version of the two. I will say. So file that away in your gotta watch that at some point list. So
yeah,
boy, I could do a whole show on that just myself. I think. between the director's edition and the old edition of TMP. It'd be interesting, yes, yes. There's aspects of the original one that are much better than the director's, and then there's aspects of the director's that's much better than the original. So that's how I look at it. But anyway, well, that's good. So Chloe, I can't even speak. Haley, Chloe, Zoe, Haley, Zach, cut that out. I'm too old for this. I do this to my kids all the time, you know, and they're like, nah, I'm Cody. Shut up. You know I was talking to you.
Yeah. You're
starting to have those senior moments. And you get them early when you have four kids. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Did I hear eh?
No, I'm just sympathizing because I can imagine one is enough.
Yeah.
Four would be three too many.
Mm-hmm. Well, fortunately, I've been blessed. They're all good kids. They're doing it right, so... you know, thank God things are going in the right direction. But at any rate, so as we move on, Haley, we'll be paying very close attention. At least I will be, because I'll be curious to pull you back in when it's all done. I'd really like to kind of circle back and say, all right, you got through the series, you got through the movies. And what I really like about this conversation is the fact, like I said before, you're doing it with your daughter. I think that's really cool. You're really, you know, you've done it before, but now you're doing it with the show that we're focused on. And mm-hmm. just see, you know, how it all comes together for you and where TOS sits. I'm not, you know, I tease our other shows all the time because that's what I do. But in all seriousness, each Star Trek series is unique and is awesome in its own right. And they have characteristics that are all pretty strong, right? There's mm-hmm. there's some that people like more than others. I do get that. But I just mean, if you watch any Star Trek, it's all good. And I think you also said something that's very important, and I do agree with. Watch it all, you know, because even bad Star Trek is still good TV. Usually. There's a couple exceptions to that. I get that. But for the most part, it is good TV, and it's better than a lot of the other things that are out there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that'd be fun. That'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. And Zach, my friend, what are your thoughts on this conversation? What do you glean? Is this bringing back any of the memories that you see? I didn't watch anything with my parents. They couldn't stand this stuff. So I was solo ops. Brother and sister could care less. Still do. You know, all I do is get teased by those guys. That's fine. But I'm curious from your aspect how this brought back some memories for you.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that because, you know, when I used to watch Star Trek when I was younger, my especially my mom would be like, talk about like the, all right, so what did you learn? Or, you know, hey, you see what they did there? You know, that's the way to do it. And, you know, just try to use it as a kind of a learning avenue as well because, you know, it's entertaining, but it's also educational. And you know, I have a much larger vocabulary, you know, as well from having watched
Don't
Star Trek.
Don't we all? I'm sure, it's awful.
I'm sure Chloe will be the smartest person in her class.
It works beautiful until you meet other Trek fans. Then all of a sudden it's like, you're not that smart anymore.
Until you meet like Mr. Eitan, it's like, man, I thought I had a PhD in Star Trek. I'm like in the elementary school compared to them. So,
yeah.
Oh yeah, but I would use the term like your continued predilection for irrelevancy demonstrates ... Right? Nobody would know where the hell that's from unless they were a Star Trek fan. Nobody, but it sounded pretty sophisticated. Yeah, Ken, you're pretty smart. We saw the movie. Shut up.
No, that's great. I'm glad that, you know, introducing her to it at a young age. I think it's a great time to get plugged into it, and it's just something that'll, you know, revisiting Star Trek throughout your life, and you'll see it as a kid, and you'll watch it later, and you are what you bring to it. I always say that about Star Trek. Star Trek is what you bring to it, so you can see the same stuff years apart and have a totally different, you know, attitude or opinion, or even find something that you connect with or an appreciation for it better. So that's going to be great. You know, going throughout the years with her, hopefully she carries the torch you're passing to her of Star Trek, and we'll revisit it years from now and think about, oh yeah, watching it with mom, and now I'm watching it now with my kids and all that good stuff. And that's a great legacy to pass on. So
yeah, I hope so. We'll see what happens.
No pressure. No pressure.
no pressure at all. No, it's really funny. Like, so we're immersed in a lot of nerd culture in this little twosome family that we've got going on. And it's so funny because we'll watch stuff and, like, you know, with Star Trek and with some of the other movies that we watch that are nerdy and things like that. And she'll go to school and she'll come home and she'll be like, Mom, no one knows what that is. Or I think she said one other kid at school that's in her grade, because she's in fifth grade, watches Star Trek or knows at least what Star Trek is, has seen something of Star Trek. And that's it. And I'm like, well, that really stinks for them because their parents just aren't as cool.
There you go.
So that's what I tell her, you know, and she'll, you know, different movies that we'll watch. No one knows what that movie is, Mom. And I'm like, well, you do, and that's okay. I'm like, you need to tell them. They can ask their parents if they can watch it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a very unique club we're in, I think. You know, that it's grown, that's for sure, and it's something that I think all of us feel that it's pretty special, because the people that we have met through this series, this franchise or whatever, it's been a fantastic ride. So I'm guessing that for Chloe, that eventually to be the same for her, because, you know, I hate to say it, but man, these kids, they grow up so fast, right? And I know I sound like the old guy, but it is true. And you know, she's 10, and you know, in 10 years or 11 years maybe, she'll be with you side by side at Star Trek Las Vegas, right? Just like my kids were 2 years ago, my two older kids with me, you know. And it's the coolest thing. So it's really nice to be able to share that and then kind of introduce them into that bigger world.
Exactly. Yeah, she's this last year actually, she was sad that she didn't get to go to Vegas with me, and you know, I kind of explained why and stuff like that, and I said maybe, you know, in a few years when you're a little bit older and stuff like that, and you can be up in the room by yourself if I'm out later with friends. And then she's also jealous that, because sometimes she'll listen to some of the podcasts with me, because I try to catch up on the weekends, and so I just have it playing. And so she knows, like, she knows some people by their voices and who they are, and she's like, you got to meet them? And she's jealous that, like, I get to meet some of these people whose voices...
You got to meet Ken Tripp? Oh my gosh.
I get that a lot.
Didn't even get his autograph.
You know, these voices that she hears, and she's like, oh, I'm jealous that you got to meet them. I'm like... I know.
You'll have your day. That's all you got to keep telling.
You know.
Her. Yeah.
And so, so like, I'm trying to do some things with her, you know, and so yeah, it'll be exciting. I'm hoping someday she'll go.
Yeah. Well, if this will drop on Monday, and if you and Chloe listen to this together, I'll just say, Chloe, your mom's doing it right.
Thank you.
She's doing it right. So that's cool. All right. So, hey, Zach, any final thoughts on this one, buddy?
No, I think we're good. Thanks for sharing that with your little family experiment you got going on there, watching TOS. And we look forward to it's always fun to see, you know, pop up on my social media. Like, you're, you know, well, here we are watching Star Trek together, you know, and it's always cute to see that. So keep that up. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll look forward to having you back on when it's all said and done. You can give us some final thoughts on the whole TOS experience. So shout out to Chloe out there. Thanks for being on. So if people want to find you out there, Haley, and follow your rewatch, where can they find you online?
You can follow me on Twitter. I'm Trekkie01D. And I try to post on there as much as possible. It's usually mostly on Facebook, but I'm trying to do it a little bit more on Twitter. My Facebook, you can find me on Facebook, but I'm kind of selective.
As you should be.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, that's important.
And... Yeah, so Twitter's the best spot if you want to randomly follow me.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully, awesome. Haley, the people, when this show drops, we go on to the Babel Conference, and if they have any questions or whatever, you want to converse with them, you can do it there as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely part of that group on there. So.
Then we shall see you there.
All right, well, talking about TOS and watching it as a family isn't the only thing we're doing on Trek FM this week. Here's a quick look at what else you might have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, the 602 Club.
Oh, huge. Tintin definitely in Europe and in many, many other countries, in Africa and Asia, is really honestly as big as James Bond rolled together with Indiana Jones and Superman.
The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
First of all, it very much hinges on the existence of subspace, which is also a kind of murky sci-fi term that is used in Star Trek to explain how warp drive works and how you can communicate.
The orb.
And so it makes the relationship between Nog and Jake really important, because I think it does really soften Sisko's heart towards the Ferengi. And I think it does the same thing for Rom. Rom, I think, begins to see the ways in which these Federation types actually are different than most Ferengi to kind of think of them.
Warp 5.
I like to talk about these things. They're not easy to talk about. You know, this is not an easy discussion to have because of so much stuff that's going on in our society right now, you know, and what's been going on for years. You know, again, that hashtag, the Me Too, like, it really opened my eyes, you know, and which is what it was supposed to do, right? This is exactly what it was supposed to do.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out these shows and find out what we're talking about in your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcast. If you're an Apple user, get the show on iTunes or the Apple Podcasts app. Be sure to hit the subscribe button. That helps us greatly and makes it easier for other listeners to find the show. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Stitcher, TuneIn, Speaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and of course, you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website and grab the RSS link as well.
If you'd like to get in touch with us here at Trek FM, you can always find us on trekfm.com/contact. And look in the sidebar on the show page, or you can go to speakpipe.com/trekfm, and please leave us a voice message. You can also contact us through Twitter at trekfm, or on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm, and of course in the Babel Conference. Type Babel Conference, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, or go to our website at trekfm and click discussion on the menu bar. Another way you can help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week is to become a patron on the network on Patreon. If you visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, you'll find the current goals and different milestone contributions along with all the great perks we have for you. These perks include early access to content, exclusive content, producer credits, seats on our content development team, and more. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details on patreon.com/TrekFM. Speaking of Patreon, thank you as always to our great associate producers for Standard Orbit. We have Renee Roberts, Norman Lau, Aaron Harvey, Tim Robertson, Nick Anastasio, Richard Marquez, and Corey Elrod.
Yes, thank you guys so much for your support for both Standard Orbit and Trek FM. So Ken, if people want to find you out there on the internet, where can they find you?
You can find me hanging around the Babel Conference and engaging people when I have the opportunity. You can also find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @BostonSCPO, and we like to tweet out all our new episode information as soon as we get it, as well as our colleagues. So look for me there.
As for me, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoreOnZach. And I'm also the host of my own podcast, Always Hold On to Smallville, where we talk about each and every episode of that Young Superman series from the early 2000s. And you can find us on Twitter at AlwaysMallville with one S. So thanks everyone for listening, and join us again next time here on Trek FM for another episode of Standard Orbit.